over Dooku's shoulder, Palpatine saw in surprise that Hego Damask, Lash Hill, and two other black-robed Munes were threading their way toward him. That he hadn't sensed his master spoke to Plagueis' power to completely conceal himself, even from a fellow Sith.
Magister Damask, Dooku and Sifo Dyas said simultaneously, turning to greet him.
Damask looked at Palpatine.
Recently, on Sereno, in fact, Masters Dooku, Sifo Dyas, and I engaged in a spirited discussion about the current state of the galaxy and our hopes for the future.
Sereno, Palpatine said, more to himself and mildly confounded. Damask hadn't said anything about Jedi attending the meeting there. So what message was he sending now? Glancing at the trio of Jedi, he thought back to his master's remark that even Jedi could be turned to the dark. Had the near-bungled assassination of Vidar Kim persuaded Plagueis to entice and recruit a Jedi to serve as his apprentice?
Ranha just introduced us to the Senator, Sifo Dyas was explaining.
Dooku's eyes moved from Damask to Palpatine and back again.
May I inquire how it is that you and the Senator know each other?
Damask motioned to Palpatine.
Senator Palpatine and Damask Holding share a dream for Naboo.
He gestured inclusively to Hill and the other Munes.
Palpatine was one of the few who early on saw the wisdom of ushering in a new era for his homeworld.
Palpatine sensed scrutiny from someone outside the circle the ten of them had formed. Just short of the Senate building's great door, Pak's team had stopped and was gazing at Palpatine, his eye stalks extended. And Palpatine could scarcely blame him, since even he had been caught off guard by Plagueis' eagerness to acknowledge him in public.
How does it feel to have realized your wish for your homeworld? Dooku said.
Palpatine came back to himself.
One can't very well stand in the way of destiny.
Again, Dooku glanced from Palpatine to Damask.
The will of the Force begets uncommon fellowships.
Chimes sounded, announcing that the session was beginning, and everyone began to file through the doors into the massive structure, going their separate ways from the atrium, some to spectators' boxes or media areas, others, like Palpatine, Sate, and Kinmon, to turbolifts that accessed Naboo's station in the Senate's middle tier, one of a thousand identical docking stations in the rotunda, outfitted with a detachable repulsor lift platform and a suite of private offices. Central to the artificially lighted space was an elegant tower emblazoned with the seal of the Republic, at the summit of which rested the Supreme Chancellor's podium. Doris, the Vice-Chancellor, and the administrative aide were already present, and after brief introductory remarks by the Supreme Chancellor, the Vice-Chancellor called the matter to a vote. A few senators spoke, but most simply cast their votes, a tally of which was relayed to monitor screens at each station and projected overhead along the inner curve of the dome. By the time the Vice-Chancellor recognized the Chommel sector, the vote was tied. Though Palpatine's vote would break the stalemate, several systems had yet to weigh in.